Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you have called us into your kingdom and that we are here today in the expression of your kingdom here in Papa Nui, that you have brought us into a family of people so that we can learn to live and express what you've called us to be within community, and so that we can then go out and be the people of God in all the spaces and places around us. And so, Lord, today we commit this word to you. We thank you we can come into the space to hear, to listen. May you illuminate the word today. May people hear what they need to hear, whether that's what I intended or whether that's just what you've planned. As we read scripture today, may you speak to us through your word, and may scripture speak to scripture today, we pray. May your Holy Spirit enlighten us and illuminate your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, so this is our last message in our series, The Story We Are Woven Into. It's the story in which we first explored the one unified story of God's creation of the world, his mission in the world, and his future for the world as a restored creation in full submission to him. We've learned that the whole Bible tells the story from beginning to end. And what is even more amazing is that here, today, we are woven right into the story already. It's still happening and we're in it. And that God knew that we would be part of that story right from before the creation of the world. We're not an afterthought. We then explored what God's mission in this world is. Firstly, that we are not living in a disposable world and that our job is just to get people out on the next ship, out and off to heaven before the world explodes. No, our mission in this world, or God's mission in this world, is to bring all things into submission under Jesus Christ and to bring renewal to people and to creation. We are commanded and called as followers of Jesus to participate in this mission, to not only tell the good news that God has entered our world to rescue it, but to demonstrate and live out this good news of restoration by living as a faithful community of people who are both imitating Christ within our community, but also imitating Christ out in the world by bringing physical healing, by loving, forgiving, sacrificing, standing up against injustice, caring for the weak, the vulnerable, demonstrating the good news. And yes, perhaps even suffering because of it at the hands of the very people that we wish to rescue. And today we're closing out the series by taking a closer look at our whole lives, how our whole lives are designed to be a part of God's whole mission. Not just parts of our life, our whole life. Can you see the patterns in this picture? Some of these people you may know, others you won't. They're all real people. I'm not going to ask you to give me an answer. We'll come back to it later. But can you see the patterns? Right, that's all you get. Now imagine, on a positive note, that you are probably going to die soon and that you're going to be executed for your faith. But the good news is that you had an opportunity to write a letter to someone that you loved. And let's say you had enough paper to write maybe 1,000 words. That's kind of two sides of an A4 piece of paper. I wonder what you would write. What would you write? Would it be a list of instructions? Would it be your most profound teaching? Would it be your best pieces of advice? Would it be to describe yourself as an awesome example to follow? Who would be doing that last one? Follow, do what I do. Well, actually, we're going to read a letter like this. We're going to read it in full. It's Paul's second letter to Timothy, because it is all of that. Second Timothy, because he wrote another one to Timothy, which is quite different. Same person, similar themes, but quite a different tone and feel. Now, Paul's second letter to Timothy is considered to be Paul's last known letter, written from prison in Rome before his execution. It's an execution he could see coming. Now, you can read about this journey towards Rome and his imprisonment in Acts, which ends with him in prison. The book of Acts. It's a great read. Now, he's had a trial over several years, during which time he held out hope for release. But it's obvious that he sees that that is not going to happen anymore. He is probably going to die in chains. He just doesn't know when. So this is a letter from a man who knows that this might be his last, to someone very, very special to him. It's reflective. It's targeted. It's in the form of the letter of the time, which has an introduction, a greeting at the end, and then it has final instructions at the end, which feel a little bit rushed and a bit disjointed, with his main content in the middle. And I've read this many times over the last few weeks in many different translations. I was struck by how Paul actually included the three big themes of the series that we've been in so far. He refers to God's big story that he's woven into. So as we read it, look for where Paul is talking about the past or the before. Look for where he's looking at where Jesus has entered into the world. And then look for where he is looking ahead to what is to come. And then he refers to the mission that we are part of. So look for those things where they're describing actions, things that are to be done. And then he zones in on how our whole lives should be part of it as he's talking to Timothy. It's a message to us as well as to Timothy. And he did intend this to be read. He knew his letters would be read by others as well. So as we read it together, and it would probably take 8 minutes to read, I've timed it, look out for those things that stand out. Feel free to turn to it in your Bible. I'm going to be using N.T. Wright's Kingdom New Testament. That's the translation I landed on, which sounds the most natural. Paul, an apostle of King Jesus by God's will, according to the promise of life in King Jesus, to Timothy, my dear child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and King Jesus our Lord. I serve God with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. And I am grateful to him that I remember you all the time as I pray for you every night and every day. I remember how you cried when I left, and I'm longing to see you and be filled with joy. I have in mind a clear picture of your sincere faith, the faith that first came to live in your grandmother Lois, and then Eunice, your mother, and which I'm really confident lives in you as well. And that's why I now want to remind you that God gave you a gift when I laid my hands on you, and that you must bring it back into a blazing fire. After all, the spirit given to us by God isn't a fearful spirit. It's a spirit of power, of love, and prudence. So don't be ashamed of the story and the good news of Jesus, of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Rather, suffer for the gospel along with us in accordance with God's power. God saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to what we have done, but according to his own purpose and his grace, his gift. He gave us this gift in King Jesus before all time and ages, but he's now made it visible through the appearing of our Savior, King Jesus, who abolished death and through the gospel shone a bright light on life and immortality. Timothy, I was made a herald, an apostle, and a teacher for this gospel. That's why I suffer these things. But I'm not ashamed, because I know the one I've trusted. And I'm convinced that he has the power to keep safe until that day the things that I have entrusted to him. So keep a firm hold on the pattern of healthy teaching which you heard from me, in the faith and love which are in King Jesus. You've had something really important entrusted to you as well. Make sure you look after it through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. You will know that everyone in Asia has actually turned away from me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord give mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. He has often refreshed me. He wasn't ashamed of my chains, but when he was in Rome, he eagerly hunted for me and he found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know very well all the things that he did for me in Ephesus. So then, my child, you must be strong in the grace which is in King Jesus. Now, you heard the teaching I gave in public. Pass it on to faithful people who will then be capable of instructing others as well. Take your share of suffering as one of King Jesus' good soldiers. No one who serves in the army gets all tied up in civilian activities, since they want to please the officer who enlisted them. And if you take part in athletic events, you don't actually win the crown unless you compete according to the rules. The farmer who does the hard work deserves the first share of the crops. Just think about what I've said. The Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus the King, risen from the dead, from the seed of David, according to my gospel, my good news, for which I suffer like a criminal, even being chained up. But God's word is not chained up. That's why I put up with everything for the sake of God's chosen ones, so that they too may obtain, with glory that lasts forever, the salvation which is in King Jesus. Now, Timothy, you can rely on this saying. If we die with him, we shall live with him. If we endure patiently, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. But if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny his own self. So remind the church there about these things and warn them in God's presence not to quarrel about words, because this doesn't do any good. Instead, it threatens to ruin people who listen to it. Timothy, do your very best to present yourself before God as one who has passed the test, a workman who needs not be ashamed, who can carve out a straight path for the word of truth. Avoid pointless and empty chatter. It will push people further and further towards ungodliness, and their talk will spread like a cancer. I'm actually thinking in particular of Hymenaeus and Philetus, because they've turned aside from the truth by saying that the resurrection's already happened. And they're upsetting some people's faith. But God's firm foundation stands, and it has this as its seal. The Lord knows those who belong to him. And everyone who uses the name of the Lord must leave wickedness behind. In a great house, there are vessels not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and pottery. Some of them are given special honor in the way they're used. Others are for menial purposes. So if people purify themselves from dishonorable things, they will become vessels for honor, made holy, pleasing to the master of the house, fit for doing every good work. Timothy, run away from the passions of youth. Instead, chase after justice, faith, love, and peace. You'll be in the company of all who call on the Lord from a pure heart if you do that. Avoid silly and unprofitable disputes and arguments, because you know that they produce fights, and the Lord's servant mustn't be a fighter, but must be gentle to all people, able to teach, able to bear evil without resentment or retaliation, able to correct opponents with a meek spirit. It may be that God will give them repentance so that they can arrive at a knowledge of the truth, and in coming to their senses, escape the devil's snare after having been held captive by him and made to do his will. But you need to know this, Timothy. Bad times are coming in the last days. People will be in love with themselves, you see, and with money too. They will be boastful, arrogant, abusive, haters of parents, ungrateful, unholy, unfeeling, implacable, accusing, dissolute, savage, haters of the good, traitors, reckless, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Perhaps holding on to a pattern of godliness but denying its power. Stay away from people like that. This group, you see, includes those who worm their way into people's houses and ensnare people, who are overwhelmed with their sins and are pulled and pushed by all kinds of desires, always learning but never able to arrive at the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres stood up against Moses, so people like this oppose the truth. In their minds, they are corrupt. In their faith, they are of no account. They won't get very far, though, because their foolishness will become obvious to everyone, as it was with those two. So what about you, Timothy? You have followed my teaching faithfully, and also my way of life, my aims and my goals, my faith, my long-suffering, love and patience, my persecutions, my sufferings, the things I went through in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, and the Lord rescued me from all of them. Yes, Timothy, everyone who wants to live a godly life in King Jesus will be persecuted. While evil people and imposters will go on to do even worse things, deceiving others and themselves being deceived. But you, on the other hand, must stand firm in the things you learned and believed. You know who it was you received them from, and how from childhood you have known the holy writings, which have the power to make you wise for salvation through faith in King Jesus. All scripture is breathed by God, and it's useful for teaching, for rebuke, for improvement, for training in righteousness and justice, so that the people of God who belong to God may be complete, fitted out and ready for every good work. This is my solemn charge to you in the presence of God and King Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and by his appearance in his kingdom, announce the word. Keep going whether the time is favorable or unfavorable for the gospel. Rebuke, warn, and encourage with all patience and explanation. The time is coming, you see, when people won't tolerate healthy teaching. The ears will start to itch, and they will collect for themselves teachers who will tell them exactly what they want to hear. They will turn away from listening to the truth, and they will go after myths instead. But as for you, keep your balance in everything. Put up with suffering, do the work of an evangelist, complete the particular task assigned to you. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. My departure time has come. I have fought the good fight. I have completed the course. I have kept the faith. What do I still have to look for? The crown of righteousness. The Lord, the righteous judge, will give it to me as my reward on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Timothy, make every effort to come to me soon. Demas, you see, has left me and gone to Thessalonica. He's in love with this present world. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus is to Dalmatia. Luke is the only one with me. Get Mark and bring him with you. He's very helpful in looking after me. Now, I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. I left a cloak at Carpus's house in Troas. Please bring it with you when you come. And also the scrolls. Oh, and especially the books. Now, Alexander the coppersmith did me a lot of damage. The Lord will pay him back according to what he's done. Look out for him yourself. He stood out strongly against our message. The first time my case came to court, nobody showed up to support me. They all left me alone. May it not be reckoned against them. But the Lord stood there beside me and gave me strength to enable me to complete my work as his royal herald and to make sure all the Gentiles there heard the proclamation. And at that time, I was snatched clear of the lion's mouth. And yes, the Lord will snatch me clear from every wicked deed, and he will save me for his heavenly kingdom. Glory to him for the ages of ages. Amen. Say hello to Prissa and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth. I left Trophimus behind in Miletus where he was sick. Do your best to come to me before winter. Eubulus sends his greetings. So do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the family. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. We don't know whether Timothy got to Paul. It's suspected that that was not very long after that Paul was executed. And I love the story because it's so personal, and yet still Paul. And at first glance, it would appear that this letter contains very little of Paul's great theological statements. But it is incredibly rich in its simplicity, and he places his life directly within God's big story. He talks about continuing what his ancestors have done. He talks of God's purposes from before the creation of the world, and he marks the turning point in human history where Jesus Christ entered the world to shine a light on God's rescue, life, and immortality. He then points Timothy ahead to Jesus' return and his renewal of all things, his kingdom to come. He points Timothy to all the Holy Scriptures as being all of Bible, all being useful. It seems clear to Paul that we are part of God's one great unified story from creation to new creation. And we are called to participate with Christ in his mission to bring about new creation, establishing his kingdom as we give our whole lives to him for his purposes. And then within that, he draws Timothy's attention to the importance of bringing his whole life into God's big story and to imitate Paul's pattern of life, just as Paul was following Christ's pattern and encouraging Timothy to be a pattern for others. And this pattern was both about being in Christ but living like Christ and also doing works of service in the world, proclaiming the good news by who you are, what you say, and what you actively do. Not just being, but also doing. And not just doing, but actually training yourself, disciplining yourself, putting effort into becoming a pattern, a light, one that attracts both persecution, but also those being drawn to life. Here are some calls to action. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying of hands. He gives us power, love, and self-discipline. He has saved, rescued us, and called us to a holy life. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. We all know what it's like to work and present our work to someone who has employed us. Cleanse yourself from the old way of life and you'll become a vessel for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, justice, faith, love, and peace. Over and over in his letters, Paul used active language, all his letters, imperatives. We're not to wait around waiting for Jesus to transform us. We are to move, to take action, to be active, to be intentional. But that the Holy Spirit that is in us will give us the power, love, patience, and peace that we need to do that. But only as we make the effort. It's a partnership. And if our whole life is a part of this mission of Christ, and we are living that way, then we are becoming imitators of Christ. And then we ourselves are becoming the patterns that others can observe closely and go, that person's like Christ. I'm going to shape my life around what that person is doing. But we're not only called to imitate Jesus, we're actually called to imitate those that imitate Jesus. Because they're doing it in a context that we understand. It's not some ethereal, well, Jesus was God, you know, and so it was easy for him kind of way. But other people who imitate Christ, we get to see it embodied and worked out and practiced in a way that works. We can't say it doesn't because we see it happening before our very eyes. Now, Paul uses this imagery very, very often. It's surprising how common it is throughout Scripture. And not only him, many writers, and even Jesus, also said the same thing. The New Testament Scriptures are littered with references about imitation. And always it will include a reference to people who are imitators of Jesus. Imitate me as I imitate Jesus, and then become a model for others to imitate. Now, there are two Greek words that are used. The word that's used for pattern or model is systematizo, a pattern to follow, to conform to, confession oneself according to. It's where we get our word schematic from, a blueprint or a pattern, like in sewing, tailoring, or building. It's an example. It's a model. It's not the real thing. It's something that we are shaping our lives around. And then the word to imitate is mimeomai, to mimic or imitate, where we get our word mime from and our word mimic from. It's to copy. Jane could give us a good demonstration, I'm sure. It's way overdue, Jane. We need a mime act at some point. Here are some scriptures that reflect this. 2 Timothy 3:10 says, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings. But as for you, continue in what you have learned, because you know from those from whom you have learned it." John 13:15 says, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Ephesians 4 says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Corinthians, "Therefore I urge you to imitate me. For this reason I've actually sent to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church." 1 Corinthians again, "For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Philippians, "Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you had us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do." 1 Thessalonians, "You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model for all believers in Macedonia and Achaia." 2 Thessalonians, "On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves to you as a model for you to imitate." And then lastly, this is a little different. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your whole selves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, perfect, and pleasing will." Now notice in this one, nowhere in Romans does Paul offer himself as someone to imitate. And I think it is simply because they don't know him yet. He's preparing them for his visit. He does not expect someone to imitate something they've only heard about. He placed a huge amount of weight on personal modeling and behavior, and he seemed very determined to remain an excellent model, persevering all the way to the end. Now, this is really important for us today. In an age where we are overwhelmed with people trying to portray themselves in a particular way, or in the age of influencers in social media, or where people are put up on a pedestal to follow, or in a world where we often create facades about who we are in the hope that we get more clicks or likes or views or people see the right thing that we want to portray. Rather than modeling ourselves on people out there, we should be modeling ourselves on people that we know personally or who we can trust the testimony about. You will be shaped by the patterns around you. So surround yourself with the best ones to imitate. And this is why it's vitally important to be knitted into a faith community. And a faith community that has people in it who are committed to following Jesus and to becoming more like him. People who make mistakes, but who demonstrate godliness through the way they live, resolve conflict, acknowledge their mistakes and correct them, who serve, who love, who train, who give sacrificially. We need to be part of a community where we can truly know people, not just get a secondhand picture of them. Because you will conform to some pattern, and it will usually be the pattern of those you spend the most time being influenced by. Surround yourselves with the best patterns, the ones you can truly observe. Now, there are a bunch in this room. Stay away from the fake ones who look good, but who you don't know. Because you will be shaped by the patterns around you. So shape yourself with the best ones to imitate. But we have a problem here in New Zealand. How many of us in this room would be able to say like Paul does, follow my way of life? What do you see me do? Do that. Follow my pattern of teaching. Live the way I live. How many of us are really confident to go to say that? That's a uniquely New Zealand problem, by the way. Because we don't like it when people might stand out. We're certainly not going to put our heads up above the parapet to say that. And we would certainly feel the hackles rise if someone dared to suggest that they themselves be an example to others. And we ourselves are very quick to diminish the good things about ourselves. We always add, you know, someone compliments us, but, you know, this is what's terrible about me, so let's pull that in. Or when someone is acknowledged for being an example, we're very quick to balance that with something negative, just so the yin matches the yang, you know? Now can you see the patterns on this slide? Because these are some of my patterns. I know all of these people, and I've seen them at the best of times and at the worst of times, and they're all alive right now. And every single one continues to be a pattern for me. None of them are perfect, and they all have different gifts and skills to me, but I have imitated all of them in some way, and I have taken their ways, those ways that I can see are the ways of Jesus, and because I've seen them do it, I know it's possible for me to do it. And I've tried to make them my ways. And as I walk through life and I encounter different scenarios, I often picture them at different times. And I'm reminded of the way they dealt with these similar things. I go, I like that. I'm going to imitate that. It might not be natural, but I'm going to do it that way. These are all ordinary people living ordinary lives. Now, some of these have done things that are very visible in the world. But many of these have just faithfully lived like Jesus in their own space. And I want to be like that. We're not called to do amazing things, but we are called to be faithful and to present ourselves as a pattern for others wherever we are, a vessel that is found worthy, to be stories of God walking around, being, demonstrating, and proclaiming God's good news in the world through all of our life. We are the walking, you are the walking story of God, wrapped up in a human being, chosen before the creation of the world to carry his story, to be shaped into the pattern of Jesus, and in so doing, to become a pattern for others to imitate. So here are my questions for you. Do you see your whole life as a vessel in Jesus' hand, your whole life being shaped for his purposes and used every day just by being you? Or do you treat some parts of your life as being unworthy or unimportant? I'm here to tell you today that none of your life is unimportant. Jesus loves and values all of your life. And that's why he wants to be at work in all of it, taking ownership of it as king in all areas as you release them to him and make the effort to bring them into alignment with him. But how do you know how to be like Jesus? So here's my next question. Who are your patterns? Who are you surrounding yourself with? Physically or even online? Who are you imitating? Find good patterns and stick with them. Now, Paul seems quite clear that it wasn't just about who you are imitating, but also whether we are also being people who should be imitated by others. And you actually don't have a choice in that. Because the people you are with are being shaped by who you are. So take it seriously and work hard to become a pattern worthy of imitating. So who are you a pattern to? And what sort of pattern are you? Would you feel comfortable saying, imitate me as I imitate Christ? I'm sure we do in some areas of our lives. We'll never be perfect. But don't ever let that be because we haven't put the work in to become more like Jesus. Jesus is making you like him so that people can see him in you. So actually, yes, there should be ways that you live that you should feel comfortable with people imitating. Because Jesus is at work in us. This is something to reflect on, or as Paul would say, reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. The reality is the people that you are with are being shaped by who you are. So take it seriously and work hard with Jesus and in this community to build a faith to become a pattern worthy of imitating. So to finish, you and I are woven into one big story, chosen from before the creation of the world right through to the restoration of all things. You and I are called to participate with Jesus in his one big mission, a whole mission that both tells his story but demonstrates his story in tangible action. And you and I are called to bring our whole life into Jesus' story and his mission, all of it, to be conformed to his pattern, to imitate others who follow his pattern, and then to be models for others to follow. And we have hope. We have been given his Spirit to help us become models or patterns for him. You are not alone. And he has created this church community to be a nurturing soil, and he's planted you within an amazing ecosystem of people who are there to bless you and to be blessed by you, and who will gladly help you as you walk your journey. So see yourself in God's big story as found in all of Scripture. See yourself as called to be an active part of God's big mission. And finally, bring your whole life to Jesus to use as an instrument for special purposes. Because that is what you are, and that is what you are meant to be. Thank you. The musicians could come up and we'll have a final song. Father God, we thank you for drawing us into your story. And we've heard a lot of scripture today. But Lord, let us not leave here today without taking on the comfort and the encouragement of being a vessel in your hands, loved, valued, our whole lives important to you. Lord, let us take that comfort for those who feel unworthy. May they leave feeling worthy and excited to be a vessel in your hands. And Lord, for those of us who maybe are dribbling on a wee bit, may we go out challenged to put a little bit more work into becoming a vessel, finding people around us to imitate. And Lord, for all of us, Lord, let us wrestle this week with reflecting on who are we as models, what parts of our lives need to be sharpened up, where are those things where you've shaped us over the years to bring us into alignment with your will as you slowly conform us to your likeness. May we be challenged, may we be refreshed, may we be encouraged as we walk into every space. In Jesus' name, amen.